This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. So, the only thing left to say is, you win? Order now on the McDonald's app, and you can also get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus. Rewards registration required. Points only on menu items. Delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Hello and welcome to Wet to Mow, King's Meadow, the show that follows the sometimes brilliant Chelsea FC women's team. Now, after the Conti Cup final heartbreak, the chance to wave goodbye to Emma Hayes at Wembley with a fourth consecutive FA Cup was an exciting prospect. The only thing in their way, a Manchester United side she'd never lost to, and Kirsty Dow. Chelsea's start was akin to a 100-metre sprinter falling off the blocks. A mistake from Ev Perisse allowed Leah Galton, with her cross, finding an unmarked Garcia in the box to head United ahead. Two heads there. That lead was doubled after 23 minutes. Ella Toon beating many loopholes to the ball. Crossing to Rachel Williams to put United in full control. Lauren James got Chelsea back into the game in stoppage time of the first half. But as hard as they pushed, an equalising goal wasn't forthcoming. Again, Chelsea found themselves on the wrong end of terrible refereeing decisions. First, a clear handball from Katie Zellum. The second, a clear foul on Neve Charles by Rachel Williams unpunished. Plus the potential that Lauren James's looming header across the line before being clawed out by Mary Earps. Make no mistake, though, Chelsea didn't deserve to win this game, but neither did United. And when you factor in those bad calls, we have every right to feel pissed off not to be competing in our fourth consecutive FA Cup final. And the title of tonight's show is Went to Mow King's Meadow, episode number 131. Lucky Red Devils. You lucky devils. Now, thankfully, it's not just me, your host, Dean. As always, I am joined by the Right Honourable, Mr. Dane Whittle. Dane, good to see you, mate.
Yeah, good evening. How are you?
Yeah, like I said before we went live, before apart from the women's football, all good. The men putting on a show for us last night. You were there for us all.
Yeah, it was nice to see actually. Yeah, nice to see. It was still a bit of taste though from watching Chelsea women's at the weekend go out of the FA Cup. But you know, gotta take, especially with the men's team, if they're gonna give you a little bit of a plus, then you freaking take it.
Yeah. Even if you can moan about Madueke and Jackson at the penalty. Not for me, of course. We're also joined by the man I last saw stood next to a very glum Johnny Sillitoe on BBC. That is Mitch the Rich Bates. Rich, how you doing, mate?
Yeah, okay, thanks now. Basically, when I went to the game last night, I had a lack of sleep from the travel and sort of the night where I stayed up in London, didn't have a good night's sleep, so... But I've now recovered enough where I'm good to go for this.
Yeah, that's a commitment, actually. All the way to, well, I'm going to call it Wigan. Actually, it's definitely not Manchester.
Warrington, it's not, yeah. Yeah, it's not Manchester, no.
Then back again to watch the men on a Monday night. You know, take some doing. So good on you for that. Glad you got some entertainment from it, at least.
Yeah.
And we're also joined by everyone's favourite postie, Mr. Simon Kingman. Simon, good to see you, mate.
Yeah, good evening. Evening, everyone. Yeah, looking for a bit of therapy, I think, tonight, to be honest with you.
Yeah, we need it. Yeah. Now, remember, you can listen to this show live every Tuesday at 8 o'clock and also at the occasional Friday. We're actually on time tonight. We'll probably surprise a few people on that. That's by heading to mixlessmixlr.com. Search for Went to Moan Kings Meadow. And if you sign up, you can join in the show by posting on the live chat page, as David has already this evening. Good to see you, David. And if you are listening, of course, back on your podcast provider, either Apple or Spotify, please leave us a 5-star review to make us feel better after going out of the FA Cup. I think we deserve it. And on our show tonight, in part one, we're going to reflect on that defeat to United in the FA Cup semi-final. And then in part two, we're going to take a very quick look ahead to Aston Villa in the WSL tomorrow night. And we're going to do all that right after this. Right, then let's get straight into it. No messing about. Chelsea lining up in what I think was a 4-2-3-1. Hampton in goal. Ed Perisic, Jess Carter, Kadisha Buchanan and Neve Charles as a back four. Aaron Cuthbert with Melly Leupolz in midfield. Johanna and Camridge, Lauren James and Guru Wrighton behind Mayra Ramirez in attack. Emma Hayes making full use of her available subs. Jerkan Liskan on for Buchanan and Kat Macari on for Wrighton in the 70th minute. And then in the 76th minute, Frank Kirby and Aggie Beaver-Jones on for Cuthbert and Ritten Cameron. And then in the 82nd minute, Ashley Lawrence on the pitch for Perisic. That left Muzovic, Ingle, Hermano and Cankovic, as unused substitutes. Stats-wise, Chelsea with 70% possession to Man United's 30, 26 shots to United's 5, 8 on target to United's 2, 9 corners to none for United and 9 fouls to United's 12. And Dave, we usually talk about the lineup. I think we're going to skip that tonight because I think it was pretty much as we expected it to be, given who was available. But I do want to get an overall reaction, you know, from the game from each of you. So, you know, your just reactions to it overall.
Well, first of all, I'd like to, congratulate the supporters of United. Well, not congratulate the supporters of United, just like more like, you know, make the most of things like this because, you know, cup finals come along and. You know, if they would have been playing like an us or a City or an Arsenal in the final, they might have believed a little bit. But I think them and Tottenham will have like equal belief and it will be like a nice day out for them until the game starts. And obviously, eventually one loses. So for the supporters, you know, it's nice to see, especially the ones who, you know, support them through thick and thin. Overall, I thought United had clearly had a game plan, which everyone has. That's a stupid thing to say. But you could see it quite clearly what it was. Sometimes, you know, you watch games and you try and work out what's going on. By hook or by crook, they got the result that they wanted. Again, pretty obvious. Whether it was by good defending or by the dark arts, some of the play by some of the players I admired, like Rachel Williams, you know, seasoned pro, probably in the twilight of her career, you know, dogged display by her. She's always been like that, a tough player, puts herself about. And by other players like Letizia, who I've always admired, you know, I remember us doing a show years ago and we pointed her out before most had in her Brighton days and hoping she'd come and play for us in some capacity. We thought Emma would turn her into a really good player with defensive midfield, centre-back. Wasn't impressed with her tactics. I know you have to do what you have to do against certain players, you know, put one over on them, but, you know, she pushed the line, she got away with it. So if you're a United fan, are you more like, well done you? Or are you saying there's no space for that in women's football? You wouldn't see that in the NFL, let alone, you know, what we watch week in, week out. And it could have been really dangerous. I thought we didn't turn up, obviously. I thought, apart from Aaron and possibly Carter, I think everyone else is pretty average. I thought in the second half, I thought we was just desperate. I thought there was too many long passes. too many pressure as individuals to try and come up with some magic, and it was like pretty poor shooting. I said long passes, it was just going off for goal kicks. I just think they just run out of steam. You know, it's hard. I don't know if it was you or someone, I think it might have been you or someone did say that, you know, last week it was that was Arsenal's, you know, big last game of the season. That's all they had to play for. This is all Manchester United had to play for, but we're still on, you know, on two other fronts. So maybe we're just running out of steam, but bitterly disappointed. Hopefully we'll talk about Emma Hayes' comments later, because I'd like to add to that. But, you know, again, it was just really pretty, really poor. End of the day, I think we got what we deserved. Nothing, but, you know, we still have the right to be disappointed. We still have the right to be angry and pissed off. That's our prerogative as supporters. I just think, yeah, it was flat. It was soulless. And, you know, it was United's day.
Yeah, I just want to say the thoughts on United fans are Danes and Danes alone. Officially, the podcast, if you are.
Okay, football supporters. Football supporters.
Fuck all of them. Yeah, Richard said in the intro, I don't think Chelsea deserved to win the game, and I don't think United did either. It was just, you know, a bit pants all round, and, you know, United, two shots, two goals. Like, they're just more clinical.
Yeah, definitely that. I think Emma did mention something about, like, the amount of sort of entries into the penalty box they had, which was minimal when they scored from, you know, I think two out of the four times they entered the penalty box. Which is obviously, you know, is, you know, that's clinical as, you know, as it can get, really. But yeah, it was just, I think I came away from this game annoyed from multiple fronts. We start slow kind of again. We start slow again. Like, I mean, a bit multiple times about this, and I'd like to know sort of the breakdown from the stats. Maybe Harry can sort of break this down. I'd love to know what are the amount of goals we've conceded in the first 15 minutes of games has been this season, because it feels like that's been the time where we've been punished the most. Obviously, we do concede the goal in the 23rd minute, but it does feel like we're on the back foot early in a lot of games. Sometimes we have been able to come back. I think there's been a couple of WSL games where we have come back from. But, yeah, this one, we weren't able to. And then, yeah, so the first 25 minutes or so, we weren't great. I do think we played better towards the end of the first half. I do think we started to create some chances. Obviously, Lauren's goal at the end of the first half, it did feel like at the time it could be pretty pivotal time to get that goal. And then also at the start of the second half, I did think they created chances. It was really until the substitutions happened where we just lost the chemistry in the attack. You know, the combinations of the players, I just don't think it were working. Everything kind of felt very centralised, and, you know, Man United were defending the middle of the pitch. And then I come on to the referee. I mean, I don't really care too much about, you know, the ball potentially being over the line for Earps's magnificent save. I'm just going to say it was magnificent. Or for the two penalty decisions. The fact is, the assault on my Ramirez from my Letizier is absolutely disgraceful. I didn't see it live because, as per usual, I went down early. I missed the goal, as per usual. I only saw it, I think, yesterday morning, and I cannot believe the referee's given a foul. Like, I'm pretty sure the referee gave a foul for that, but she's clearly guessing, because if she'd seen what Maya had actually done, she would have been off. And Jilly Flaherty, and sorry to, you know, ramble on and also advertise other podcasts, but Jilly Flaherty, ex-Chelsea, yesterday on Counterpressed, basically said, look, she's, you know, that's, you know, that's potentially career threatening. Like, what are you doing? And yeah, and it's a player safety thing. That's the biggest thing. Like, I was in Madrid for the Champions League group stage, and this is turning into a rant now. I was in Madrid for the Champions League group stage game, where, you know, we were aggrieved that night, but it wasn't because our players were being, you know, under that sort of, you know, aggression from the opposition. It was just because the calls were bad. This is the worst refereeing performance I've seen for a long time. And it wasn't just that. It's that they were very, they were overly aggressive, I think, Man United on Sunday. Lauren was had her shirt pulled back. I think, I can't remember what minute it was. It was very early on, where she got her shirt pulled about two or three times in the same instant by Zellum, and nothing was done. And then when Lauren basically tried, like, I think she like reacted a little bit and she like spun Zellum around, Zellum just pointed to referee and say, hey, look, you know what she, you know, look what she just did to me, even though Zellum should have been booked for the three times that she pulled Lauren back. Lauren's got every right to be frustrated. Yeah, sorry, I'm going to stop now. I'm getting wound up.
No, I was enjoying it. And we're going to touch on, I think, pretty much everything you said as we go through the show. Simon, I was watching from home, I think you was as well, just screaming at the TV, especially when the subs came on and they were doing these long passes over the top that were doing nothing. It just felt like banging my head against a brick wall.
It just didn't seem to work, did it? The subs, remember saying it at the time, it was, I don't know, just a complete waste of time. I was thinking earlier on today as well about listening to this podcast over the years and how fantastic we played, and you boys calling it the tack-tack boom football, and that it just seems to be lost. I know we've said it before as well about the sort of the end of last year, wasn't it? Maybe since the Villa game and the Emery announcement, they don't seem to be the same team. Something not quite right about it, and just sort of echo what the other boys said. Yeah, just frustrating. I mean, Letizia, it was the push on Ramirez as well, wasn't there, in the box that was a penalty all day long. And the body check seemed to spark Ramirez into life, I think, after that body check. But just, yeah, screaming at the telly and saying some words that maybe I shouldn't have said.
I think all words were justified after this performance, and especially the refereeing performances, as Rich went off on one about, rightly so. But Dane, you know, these big games, you want to start well, and we did the absolute opposite of that. You know, a Perisic mistake. Do you think it was just unlucky, or they were a bit cold coming into this? You know, international breaks, obviously, it's the same for both teams, though, isn't it?
It is, yeah. It is. It's just circumstances, isn't it? It's just in that moment, that's the instinct that makes you pass it back to the keeper, and they're on their toes, the forwards of United, and we were still a bit cold. We didn't warm up enough. It was just, yeah, it was just the worst start, really. It took us, we didn't really get going, and then obviously United scored again. I think Simon is right. I think once Maya got, once Ramirez got that barge, it seemed to spur us on a little bit, and that was probably our best spell of football. Although we dominated the second half, we dominated without actually looking dangerous. But I think our best spell was after that, leading up probably the last 10 minutes of the game, maybe the 15 minutes of the first half, sorry, including the injury time. When Lauren scored, we did look dangerous. Probably half time came at a good time for them, but not for us.
Yeah, I mean, Rich, you look at the way the back four was lined up at the time it happened. They just, not that they weren't expecting it, but they definitely weren't set for it, because Buchanan has to come over and cover the space. And Neve just can't get back in time, unfortunately, to get to Garcia, who heads it home.
Yeah, unfortunately, you know, it's just one of those. Eve's obviously trying to play it back to Hannah and just doesn't catch the ball at all. And, you know, Leah Galton's a very, she's a very smart player. And, you know, she knew where, I guess she, and, you know, she's very quick as well. And she knew where the ball was going to land. And, you know, yeah, you're kind of chasing back then. It's almost for like a lost cause. And, like, yeah, it was just a disastrous start. Yeah, for a game, I think, well, I mean, the first 30 seconds of which, I think we'd shown a bit, and like we pressed forward, and then it basically just comes from like just a Mary Earps clearance, and it's just poorly dealt with. It was sort of a free header contested in midfield, and yeah, Eve's trying to play it back. gets it wrong, and unfortunately it results in a goal, and that's, you know, that's the level they're playing at. These mistakes will get punished.
Yeah, I've got some live stats for you. 8 out of the 25 goals have been in the first 20 minutes.
So, 25 conceded the total this season, 8 in the first 15 minutes, was that? Sorry.
Yeah, so it's roughly 32%, according to my sources.
Yeah, there you go. It's too much. Yeah,
that's what they say. Yeah, I believe them. I believe the experts. Simon, I looked at this goal, and as someone who's the playing goal, the way that Hampton's coming across her line, you know, was expected. I think there's a moment, a split second before Gossier heads the ball where she takes another step across her goal. I think if she sets herself, she picks that ball out of the air pretty easily. Is that being too harsh, or do you think maybe, you know, again, with the team starting cold, the goalkeeper's cold as well?
I saw your tweet and I thought it was quite harsh at the time. But then having watched it again, and Verity, being the goalkeeper for the school as well, said it at the time as well. She thought it was Hampton's fault. So when you watch it again and you've got that, what you'd said, maybe, sort of one step too far to the, what was it, to the left?
Yeah, we've been there left, yeah.
So possibly, yeah, if she'd sort of stayed there. Yeah, stayed in the middle.
Yeah, I think you want to set yourself for the header so you can make the dive either way, depending on what way Gossier does everything right, goes the other way to what the keeper's going. I think there is that split second where she could have stopped and she doesn't. And I think Neve gets a little bit in her way because she doesn't even dive for the ball the other side of her. You know, but as we said, it was, you know, the first minute or so of the game, wasn't it, that they did that. But for me, then, the second goal's even worse than that, you know, because you can forgive a missed kick of the ball from Perisay, who's been fantastic for us. And for me, the worst part was how Toon bullied Leupolz off the ball, who had, I think, one of her worst games for Chelsea on her birthday as well. Maybe because they spelt her name wrong on the lineup graphic, maybe not. But that, for me, was, you know, that was criminal, losing the ball like that.
Yeah, bullied. She was bullied. I saw some good moments from Melanie. You know, every time I was heavily critical, she would produce like one of those old school Makaleli sort of wrap your foot around the ball tackle and really stop a counter attack. So it's a bit of an up and down game, more down. But she got bullied on that ball on that play over on the left hand side. But it was a cross and a half. And a finish from Rachel Williams, a great header. I know you don't want to compliment her much, but if you're just looking at the football in general, that was that they couldn't have done any better than we didn't produce anything like that in the game. So, you know, sometimes when that went in, it was just like this. I thought then this is not our day.
Rich, you know, as Dane said, Rachel Williams, a great header. Hampton, no chance for that one. But the way she's able to get space in the box behind Buchanan.
Yeah.
And just as guilty as Leupolz being bullied off the ball.
Yeah, Rachel Williams is a smart player in the box and she just gets, you know, that sort of half yard of space that's, you know, critical in that part of the box. And yeah, Buchanan does lose her. And I think Neve realises, but she's, you know, she can't get across, you know, in time. It's just, she just gets there just a bit too late. And yeah, then you're sort of really, you know, really looking uphill from there on.
Yeah, I mean, Simon, in Neve's defence, she did have, I think it was Garcia on her side. So, you know, Williams is not her player. I think she makes the decision to go too late, obviously. But, you know, again, you know, defence asleep. And Buchanan and Carter have had a very good partnership in recent weeks. Maybe the travel back, I don't know how far she played in the international break, to be fair, to say this, but maybe that was a factor.
Yeah, she played a bunch of games for Canada.
Yeah, where were they playing?
They were playing the She Believes, so USA.
Yeah, so
Ashley Lawrence, I think, as well.
A sizable distance to travel. Again, still, even after that early goal, still asleep, I think, at the back. And I think Charles should be communicating more with Buchanan that she's left Williams behind her.
just a calamity, wasn't it, all round? Sort of watched it back earlier on, and yeah, Buchanan sort of ball watching and Neve leaving it too late. Part of me was thinking at the time maybe we're giving them this two goal cushion just to come back and hammer them in the second half, but a little bit too optimistic.
Yeah, I don't think any coach thinks we'll go 2-0 down. No. Come back to win. And I was actually quite happy Williams was starting because I thought at least she ain't going to come on and score a last minute fucking goal against us because she does that a lot. And there she was in the 23rd minute putting United 2 ahead. And as Rich said, Dane, I thought that was, you know, United had full control then. But, you know, getting that goal on the stroke of half time gave us that foothold in. And actually, I was much more relaxed over half time given it was 2-1 instead of 2-0.
Yeah, as I said, you know, I'm going to repeat myself. I thought that was our best spell of the game. You know, that was there 7 minutes of injury time in the first half? Was it more five or six?
Five, I think it was five.
Yeah. So I think we had a good 15-minute spell. I think spurred on from that break in play when Ramirez was assaulted. And I thought that was out. The half time came a good time for United. I thought they was almost on the ropes, and going into the second half, and what we saw for the next 45 minutes was literally them on the ropes. But we just, you know, like a boxer needs to do, we just didn't land any blows. But I thought, you know, it was a sweet goal. It was a lovely goal. Again, a bit of controversy there. You know, I always think that's harsh on the attackers because, you know, you've scored a goal and you desperately want to get the game started again. I don't think the defenders or anyone has any right to stop that. You know, what are they stopping it for? The game needs to carry on. And obviously, Lauren, being Lauren, she's got that attitude and that arrogance we all love, and she's the first one to try and get that ball back. But again, she's the one that gets absolutely castrated, doesn't she? It's sad. It's she doesn't have to do a lot. And the Arsenal and, to a lesser extent, the Man United fans will come out and absolutely smash her to pieces on social media. It's a disgrace. And, you know, she's not stuck up for enough in the footballing world by fellow pros, by ex-pros. It seems like it's Emma who has to beat that drum again and again. And it's really horrible to see because this is still a human being at the end of the day. This is a winner. This is England's biggest talent. Could be our biggest talent ever, which we, you know, we need to respect, we need to nurture, we need to look after, we need to an extent wrap in cotton wool. And I'm not saying we let her get away with murder, footballing terms, sporting terms, but, you know, at the same time, you know, you call what is right and you call what is wrong, and what she has to put up with week in, week out is so far wrong. It is untrue. You'd think of it as any other player, especially an Arsenal player, the support they would get would be, you know, would be there for everyone to see. But it's a disgrace that, once again, I think Rich mentioned with the Zalem as well, with that pulling up the shirt and attack on us all. Again, it just makes Lauren, you know, she's got a broad pair of shoulders, we know. You know, she's a tough player, she's tough-minded, and she has to be because she doesn't get no help whatsoever.
Yeah, we're going to come back to that aftermath a bit later on in the show. Just back to the goal, Rich, you know, that move where Hampson plays that ball to Charles, something we've seen a lot of recently, and that is, you know, one of the positive things we've had from the last few games.
Yeah, again, Hannah Hampton, accurate kicking to the touchline, opens up a lot of opportunities going forward. And, you know, Neve does really well to then basically go down the left-hand side and then cut it back. And it was just, you know, it was a simple goal, but, you know, it was executed absolutely brilliantly. I say simple in the fact that, you know, only three players were involved, but, you know, Hannah's execution of the goal kick, well, the kick out, again, brilliant. And, you know, I've praised her so many times on here for that same sort of kick. It just opens up so much for us going forward. And, yeah, Neve's great work. Let's pull it back. And then LJ, it's a very good finish from LJ. Yeah, was It was a really, really nice goal.
Yeah, I think she, I think LJ missed one like that, a bit similar beforehand, where she blazed it wide or over. Maybe that was later on.
There was one earlier in the game where I think Guru got in behind and then sort of cut it back. And I think the ball might have bobbled just before she hit the ball, just because of the way it just sort of goes over. That was very early on. I think that would have been in the first 10 minutes or so of the game. I know she had some other shots, but I think there was one, yeah, kind of in a similar position where she just, it kind of almost got underneath it. But I think it may have been because of the bobble on the pitch that happened.
Yeah, and it's a rugby league pitch, let's not forget that. Yeah. And Hampton as well, she booted one in Williams's face. That was the second half, I think, though. They almost knocked her out. But yeah, you know, that is something that we've seen. And Simon, I think at that moment in the game, United were asleep, unlike we were at the start. I think they switched off at the end, thinking they were home and dry in the first half. And Chelsea still awake to it, and it probably made them, as team talking at half time, a little bit easier.
Yeah, we had a few good chances, didn't we? There was one, just written it down, about Lauren's, she hit the side netting. Maybe she should have sort of cut it back a bit more. Kenrids, she played really well, sort of a few balls. Maybe she should have put in that final ball again that we've spoken about. But we had our chances. We'd have our chances on another day. We would have been talking about a victory, but yeah, a combination of Mary Earps, good defending, wasn't to be.
Yeah, I think, you know, as Simon says, then in the second half, you know, Chelsea had come out pretty good. They dominated the ball, as we see with the stats, you know, 70% possession against 30%, you know, it was all Chelsea. 42 progressions to the box, or whatever that stat was for Emma Hayes. But really, you know, the best chance was Lauren James's header that Earps, you know, give her a juice, that was a great save. I don't think it's over the line. And the angle of the picture is, you know, not straight, so you still can't tell. You know, but just felt like if we had to score, it would have been then, just before Emma makes those subs on the 70th minute.
Yeah, you know, that was unlucky. We saw the famous recreation of the F-off from her, which you saw in the World Cup final when she produced the penalty save, didn't we, Mary Earps? So I was really hoping it would come back to bite her on the arse, but it didn't. I thought, obviously, that was by far our best chance of the second half. I just thought we got into good positions and an easy pull back or an easy pass to find out someone else, you know, was swapped for an individual sort of moment of brilliance that the player in that moment thought was the best choice, and it was the wrong choice. You know, that's hindsight can help me say that now it was the wrong choice, but in that moment, that, you know, they have the confidence to think I can get in from this angle or that angle, even though I'm shouting at the telly, you've got to pull it back. But they believe in themselves and they believe in their talents. It was just so frustrating to watch. Are we going straight onto the subs, or I just, again, it's none of the subs. I didn't think it worked. I think who come on? Was it Wrighton? One of the first who went off, did she? Again, I don't think Wrighton's been good for a while. I think she's a good team player. You know, she sticks to her job. She sticks to her tactics. But attacking wise, that's gone, in my opinion. That is almost 50% less than what I've been seeing previously for 18 months, when I think she was one of the world's top players, and each sub to an extent I didn't think added much. They huffed and they puffed, but you know, I was a bit disappointed. Macario, you see this with players that have been out for a long time. You know, they start that, it's that freshness, they start, they get back, run a bit of a hive, and they hit a bit of a lull. And this might be the lull, but you know, I still have so much belief in her talents that she will, you know, we will still see the talent that is there. Nuskin again, yeah. Puff Beaver Jones, you know, she was another one, I think, from a stupid angle shot as well. But in that moment, you know, you make that decision and it was wrong. Fran as well. You can see her huffing and puffing and at the same time getting frustrated. She'd look to make a pass, you know, try and almost like a needle for a haystack sort of pass and then put her arms up because the other player didn't, you know, see it. And it was almost like they were strangers, at, you know, like Sunday League when you're playing with people, you know, you're not used to playing. It was frustrating to watch because you know it wasn't going to come. You sort of accepted, obviously, is it, isn't it?
Yeah, but you still believe, I think, till the final whistle. Although, I think we had a chance and it went wide, and then you knew then that it was just a goal kick and that was it. Yeah, but Rich, as Dane says, the subs, they didn't work, and that first double change where she took off Buchanan and Wrighton, and as Dane said, I thought Wrighton was absolutely terrible again. But yeah, I think that change affected the way that Chelsea were playing. And did we panic too early in changing the system?
I feel like, and I've kind of been, I think I've been saying this for the last few episodes, I do want to defend Wrighton because I do think she has been creating chances. Like the header that Earp saves, makes that save from, is from a Wrighton cross. And she does create a chance in, as I said earlier, for James in the first half. So I kind of want to sort of defend. I know the goal scoring aspect isn't there, but the chance creation has been. And I kind of feel that once those first sort of subs were made, I kind of already mentioned it, everything kind of got centralised. I knew, obviously, it felt very early to do the Nishkin for Buchanan one, especially when Nishkin wasn't playing as a defender. Now, we know she can play at centre-back. But that one felt very desperate straight away. There were still 20 minutes left of the game, past whatever injury time there was at that point. And yeah, it just felt, even though I don't think, look, I'm not saying that like Guerra and JLK, you know, had, you know, phenomenal games. I thought they were both okay. But it felt like that once those two went off, we kind of lost a lot of width. And, you know, Manchester United can just, you know, sit and defend the width of the 18-yard box, you know, and we're getting ever more desperate trying to, you know, hook pretty much pretty straight, you know, balls into the box and, you know, not getting anywhere. And, you know, Dane already mentioned the long passes at the start of the podcast. You know, it just felt that sub, the Nishkin for Buchanan one in particular, felt quite desperate straight away. And yeah, I would have probably made some straight player for player swaps at that point, not gone for that straight away. Anyway, that's my feet. That did feel like a little bit of a panic.
Yeah, because I thought we were actually, the second half, we were playing quite well. You know, we were making chances. And
yeah,
as you said, you know, the width died. And so I want to talk about Camrid because you said she played well. You know, I called her Jesper Gronkjør. For those that watched Chelsea before we had money, he was a winger that would get to the byline and then do absolutely nothing with the ball. Maybe that's harsh on her because I think she's got the most assists this season. But she just frustrated me all afternoon with that, and she was better than Hannah Blundell. We see that at Stamford Bridge. She had the beating of her, but I don't think she or we took advantage of that.
No. She is exactly the same as Jesper. She can beat the player, but then that final ball, I know I'm going to contradict myself now. It's like that scene in Forrest Gump, isn't it? When the crowd put up the stop with the banners when he's running down playing football. Such a frustrating player. She's been really good this season, but yeah, that final ball and that pass always seems to be a bit lacking. I know I'm contradicting myself because I said she played well, but she wasn't the worst player.
No, she's had a good season. I would say that just this match in particular was
yeah.
I thought Wrighton, although you know, Richard, she got the chance, which I thought she was pretty invisible for most of the game on the other side. And against Mannion, I think you want someone to take her on, attack her, and I don't think she did that. Whether by choice or by instruction, that is a different discussion. Yeah, but Dane, the sub for me that made no sense was when she brought on Frank Kirby instead of Čanković, and this sort of felt the perfect chance for someone that can do something magic. And we've seen that Fran isn't that player anymore. You know, no disrespect to her, you know, she's not going to do what we want someone to do in that position where she came on, and I think that's why she struggled when she came on and she looked frustrated. And you've got a player that maybe can produce that bit of magic, and we've left her on the bench.
Yeah, but I suppose I suppose in that moment, you're going with history, aren't you? You're going with someone with over, you know, 100 goals for Chelsea, you know, an international world best at one point. And I suppose, you know, you can't criticise the fact that Emma went very attacking. You know, she went with players she believed would get something out of the game. And it, again, it's massive hindsight. You know, if we had a bottom like Jankovic, for an example, we could have been saying, well, maybe Fran could have produced something if she didn't come on. It's frustrating. It's what we do as football supporters. We're banging our heads against the wall to try and justify how we could have got a result, why we lost and what we could have done differently. It's just one of those things, I'm afraid. And you're right, it was just all a bit disjointed. I get Jankovic, you know, she could have put her foot on the ball and, you know, moved it left, moved it right. And, you know, because considering she was the one we always thought was replacing the wonderful Xi, you know, maybe we haven't seen enough of her. Maybe you are right, but I suppose we'll never bloody know, will we?
No, unless anyone can invent a time machine, please do get in touch with that. I won't even change the game. I'll just back United to win 2-1. Make myself some money. You know, Rich Simon said earlier that something felt different about the team since Emma's announcement. And I think what it is that we don't have Sam Kerr. And we just haven't... she's impossible to replace. And especially for Chelsea, that long ball that we've seen work against United for Sam, you know, wasn't an option for us. It's not really Ramirez's game. Her and LJ, I don't think, have a very strong partnership together so far. You know, hindsight to say maybe we were better starting off Lauren James and Muscombe together instead of Lauren James and Ramirez. But I think the key point of it is, you know, we look lost of ideas, and when plan one didn't work after 70 minutes, we panicked, and I don't know what plan that was on the list for Buchanan to come off, probably C or D.
Yeah. I would say, in sort of response to what Simon said, I don't think he would have been saying that a few weeks ago when we beat Arsenal 3-1. We look really good. It's not been like a complete, you know, we've been completely out of sorts the entire time. There's obviously been spots like the Conte Cup final where it has felt, okay, this is a bit weird. It felt a bit weird on Sunday. But then in March, we'd also beat Man City away in the Conte Cup, you know, when they were, you know, obviously, you know, they're still flying high. They're still in the middle of a winning streak in the WSL. And we beat Arsenal 3-1 when, you know, we were obviously concerned about the fact that we'd lost 4-1 to them beforehand. So, yeah, I mean, we do miss Kerr. I think the biggest miss is Millie Bright. I feel like there's times where we do sort of look shaky in the back, and I just feel like if Millie's there, a lot of that kind of goes away. And, you know, in terms of settling the team sort of, you know, for the rest of them further forward, you know, her not being there, I think, has been a big factor at times, you know. Yeah, in parts of the season. I do agree with your point about LJ and Myra. It hasn't clicked yet. It's not to say it won't at some point, but yeah, it doesn't look like it's clicked just yet. I probably would have played Nuskin and James together on Sunday to start because they've got that better combination. You know, we've got a well combination at least has shown that, you know, its fruits in recent weeks. But yeah, they do miss Kerr because Kerr can produce a goal out of absolutely nothing. You know, the goals against Man United a couple of seasons ago on the last day, they both kind of come out of nothing and we win the league title because of them. And, you know, she's got that, you know, that special moment going forward. But just feel like, I mean, they're both important and we've both missed them. And it's very frustrating that, you know, we've played this last bit of Emma Hayes' reign without, I would say, our two most important players. I think they are our two most important players.
Yeah, not to say that Ramirez had a bad game.
No, it's not, no.
But I still think she looks like a player that doesn't speak English. I think you can see that there's a disconnect between her and the other players. And obviously, she started the Conte Cup final, and not that we lost because of her. But we did beat Arsenal and United with LJ and Luskin together. Yeah, but as I said, hindsight's very much easier to be a coach with hindsight on your side than deciding what to do before the match. Let's move on then to the referee. Because we absolutely had the Richard rumbling downs in glee at this bit. Now, Simon, when we recently played Arsenal in the Conti Cup final, McCabe handled the ball in the box. I was told that because she wasn't making her body bigger, arms were on her chest, where you normally put them, it wasn't handball. So when Zellum's arm is pointing to the corner flag and it hits it, why is that not now a penalty?
It is, isn't it? There was one clip I saw earlier on, was it Greenwood's? Was it against Man United as well?
Oh, yeah.
Penalty, exactly the same. Exactly the same. I don't know why we're not getting them. Is it the Esme Morgan thing playing on their minds? Absolutely terrible. Terrible.
Yeah, I just feel, Dane, that the refs are almost scared to be, you know, make a decision that puts them at the centre of the outcome of the match. You know, that the Williams on Charles, I think, is anywhere on the pitch, the ref gives a free kick for that. It's a penalty, and they seem to be, they don't want to be talked about, or they don't make these decisions. And, you know, in the sense, we're not talking about the mainstream media, I guess, we're not talking about the referee. We are, because we support Chelsea and we want the calls. But both of them, I think, nailed on. And, you know, as Simon says, you know, that Esme Morgan tweet, how many since then have we not got decisions against Ramirez? We've not got, and referees are not giving us these calls.
Oh, yeah, I suppose you've got a point. When you first started that sentence, I was like, well, how did that work out for her? Because we're still talking about her. But I get, you know, you corrected yourself and I get what you're saying. Well, it depends if the people who mark her and judge her, you know, the people who employ her, say she did a good job in that game, say she didn't do anything wrong and they agree with her decisions. We obviously don't with our blue tinted glasses on, but I think it's fair to say any other supporter in our shoes would go down the same road as us and be absolutely fuming, whether it's fouls, whether it's free kicks, whether it's penalty decisions. It was a really, really poor display. You know, we've talked before about, you know, them having to be more professional, them getting the support and the training they need. I don't know if I want VAR in the women's game. Oh, I would have liked it on for this game. But still, they might not have agreed with what we thought we were seeing. It's a hard one to answer, I don't think. I'm quite a naive person in that aspect where I think no one goes out and with a grudge or means to get it wrong. But it was an awful display in a high-profile game. And it'll be interesting to see if there's any ramifications for it. Or, you know, I haven't seen a lot. I've been busy the last 2 days since, so I haven't really been on social media to see if there's been any sort of call out for it or what might come, or even for Letizia. You know, I don't know if that works like that, but obviously you can correct me or tell me if anything like that has gone on.
All I've seen is people calling for Lauren James to be banned for headlock on Millie Turner.
Well, there you go.
Yeah, not on the ref. And, you know, that for me, you know, Rich, you know, Zellum should have got booked for the pull on Lauren James early on. I think she gets a second yellow for handball. That might have been harsh, but, you know, she still handled the ball in the box. I think it's the yellow card. That's a red, she's off. Letizia should have been sent off for the assault on Ramirez. You know, two penalties, two players sent off. This is a different result, different outcome, and we're talking about different things.
Yeah, exactly that. I don't want to, or I don't usually like to have a go at referees, because, you know, it is a difficult job, and especially at the, you know, the women's level, they've just not got the investment, you know, that obviously there is on the men's side, and obviously they don't have the video assistance either. Having said that, and it seems to be consistent in the referees, at least in England so far. They don't know how to officiate Myra correctly. They don't know how to officiate, you know, for teams, you know, rotationally fouling Lauren, which goes on pretty much every game. And I just feel like if you're, you know, a professional referee, Surely you've got to understand how, you know, teams play and how, understand exactly what they're, you know, trying to do to the opposition. I just feel like if she gives Elamik a yellow early on, she probably, you know, I feel like that would set the tone for the rest of the game, you know, to say that, look, if you do any of that, you know, you're going to get booked, you're going to be in trouble. And it would, you know, they'd Man United would... They'd have to realise, oh, okay, well, the referee's booking us today. We better sort of watch our step. But she just allowed them to get away with so much. And then, yeah, like, I mean, if VAR's around Letizia's going off. And if there's VAR for just, I mean, the handball, it's a handball. The actual rule is actually pretty simple to follow. You know, you can say whether or not if it's harsh as a sort of an opinion, but the rule is now if your hand's away from your body and it hits and the ball hits it, it's a penalty. So I don't know what the lino's doing either, because the lino's on the same side. He was on the side of the away end. And the referee, yeah, again, should be seeing, or at least one of them should be seeing it. Like, it's ridiculous. And then, yeah, I mean, I think Rachel Williams also fouls Neve sort of shortly after that. And I think it was at that point I knew it was probably not going to be our day, because, you know, if you're not getting these sort of these decisions, you're not getting the momentum go your way, or the momentum's being blocked by, you know, either Earps making a world-class save or the fact that we're not getting penalties that should be given. We're not, you know, opposition players aren't being disciplined by the referee. You know, you just have a feeling that it's just not going to go your way that day. And that's exactly what happened. I know that we've not been good at coming back from 2-0 down. You know, obviously Harry put that stat up about, you know, the 13 times we've been behind 2-0 in the first half, or by two goals, I think it was. And we've only won one out of those 13, but, you know, we should have had the opportunity to get an equaliser at least in this game, and we never had that chance.
Yeah, circling back, Simon, to Letizia, because, you know, there's been a bit said about her being a bit of a thug. As you remember, the FA Cup final last year, her and Millie Turner were basically fighting Sam Kerr on the halfway line when the ball was at the other end of the pitch. And Sam gave back as good as she got. You know, fair enough, it's a physical game, but she crossed the line with that challenge. She's not a thug, you know. This is the game that she's been asked to play by Mark Skinner, and, you know, as Dane mentioned earlier, you know, she was one of the players that we were talking about coming to Chelsea, and I think she would be a better player if she had done. She probably would have been the team a bit more had she done. You know, but she's playing a physical game that Mark Skinner and United want to play, and, you know, that's fair enough. But when you do cross that line between, you know, being physical and outright assault, as it was on Ramirez, you expect the referee to step up. And as I said to Dane, you know, it feels like they're scared through that at the moment, and they need that assistance, I think, and that help in training to get them to do that.
Yeah, you'd like to think that someone would have seen it. Two linos as well being there. It was outrageous. Outrageous. And then she did the same, didn't she, in the penalty area, where she just pushed her out of the way. And that's another penalty. I don't know, like Dane said, VAR, we don't like it in the men's game, do we? So we don't really want it brought into the women's game. But there's got to be something that someone can do to help. Is it more training, professional refs? It's got to be something, because it's going to give me high blood pressure if I keep watching all these games anymore and talking about the same things and shouting at the linos. Drives me insane.
Yeah, I don't want VAR, because I think it's awful, and I like going to watch the women play because there isn't VAR, and, you know, what happens, happens. You know, you get decisions in your favour, as we saw at City early in the season when the ref decided to implement the new time-wasting rule to its full maximum and sending off, I think it was Greenwood that day. You know, you do get decisions in your favour, and you do get some not in your favour, but when they're that bad and they, you know, affect your chances of winning trophies, which it has done, you do, I think, have the right to be pretty pissed off at the refs, and I think they do need to be professional. My answer is do what the NFL do. You know, have fucking 10 refs, and they all got yellow flags. Whoever throws it makes the call. You know, it's not just one person in charge trying to keep up with professional sports players, because more often than not, they're quicker than the referee, as you would expect them to
be. Right. I mean, even as a kid, sort of watching football as a kid, I could never understand why there were only two linos. Why don't you have one in each half? And a couple behind the goal, like they did. They sort of tried to bring it in, didn't they, for UEFA games a few years back.
Yeah, the goal line ones that did nothing.
Yeah. Just, yeah. Yeah.
But I know in the men's game, you know, the referee is, you know, the boss, and they don't like to upset them, and VAR's not giving calls because they don't want to overgo their friend's decision and stuff like that. But, you know, we all want the right decision at the end of the day, whether it's for or against you. You want things to be done right, and I don't think you can do that with just one person.
Yeah, but you're beating your head against the wall, you know. You're talking about NFL, and they're spoken like a Johnny come lately bandwagon Kansas City new fan, but they're just as bad. You know, I watch NBA, they're just as bad. You know, the referees are not sports. The only ones I think actually get it right are like rugby ones. They seem to be like the best ones who have mastered it. It's hard one, and when it goes against you, I think over a season it sort of does even itself out to an extent. It's such unfortunate that when you're pushing for an FA Cup final, these decisions go against you in the semi-final. It's a hard, hard one to swallow, especially against a team who's never beaten you before.
Yeah, I just want to say I supported the Kansas City Chiefs the year they drafted Mahomes. So before they were good, I was just lucky that he become
bandwagon.
He became the Cole Palmer of the NFL, I guess. Let's circle back then to Lauren James and Millie Turner, because you know, we see this happen all the time in football. You know, a team that's losing scores a goal, they want to get the ball. The team that's just conceded want to slow the game down, so they try and stop them. This happens, you know, probably every week in somewhere in England. This happens, but earlier in the game, you know, when Zellum pulled LJ back, the commentators, and it was Siobhan Chamberlain. She called Zellum clever. Well, LJ should have calmed down. You know, again, playing into this narrative that, you know, black women are aggressive, and, you know, white women are just physical. You know, Bunny Short, Man City has it. Sissoko at West Ham has it. You know, it's not just a Chelsea problem or a Lauren James problem, this. But, you know, what Millie Turner done after with that Instagram post showing that headlock where it looks like it in that split second, you know, has played into that, and it's invited LJ to have, you know, abuse thrown at her. And, you know, you see Millie laughing in the comments about it with other players. It just really stinks, doesn't it?
Yeah, are they trying to dress it up as banter? Because that is really unintelligent if they are. You know, these are professional footballers. You know, they know what it's all about. Are they really out of touch with the real world? Clearly not, because they're on social media. So they know what they're doing. They know the backlash they're doing. They know how much backlash the women's game gets, as it still gets. They should almost be, to an extent, you know, looking out for each other. And I get there's rivalry there, but you don't need to do it. Is she really that disliked behind the scenes? Is she really that much of a horrible, arrogant person? You know, someone tell me. You know, someone who, you know, it's correct us, because it seems like she's just not getting the support that she deserves. It's hard to remember what I said earlier, because that was my little rant regarding it, but it drives me completely up the wall to think that she's just supposed to take it. She's just supposed to, you know, accept. You know, we've seen it with McCabe as well. And McCabe is a player I actually like. I would think she'd be something like Diego Costa player. You hate her, but if she was in your team, you'd love her. You know, she's another one. Oh, she's smart, she's canny, she's this, she's that. And some of her tackles are freaking awful. Again, as we said with Zalem, you know, with this thing with Millie Turner, you mentioned a good point with Sam Kerr in the cup final. But Sam Kerr, freaking tough. Not a Laurenism, but Sam Kerr was giving it back. Very streetwise. But Lauren gives it back, you know, she gets criticised. It's almost like they're scared to support her because of the backlash they might get. You know, as that tide already turned, and that's it now for Lauren. It's so frustrating to watch. It's so frustrating to read. You know, the justifications on Twitter or X or whatever you freaking call it. I'm not very good. I can't have an argument. I'm a visual person, so I can't get into that stupidness on Twitter or X. And I read it, and I want to throw my phone at the wall, stupidly. I wish someone with a little bit more intelligence who can have like an argument over messages, you know, could take over. I'm not bad visually, but it's. I feel so sorry for her, and there needs to be more done. It's almost like similar with Emma, isn't it? When Emma sticks up for her, I don't think Emma also gets the respect she deserves. There's sort of like a hatred towards her from rival fans, which to an extent I understand, but it's just they think she gets away with murder. And you know, even you called out something recently with Alex Scott, didn't you, when they were talking about Emma Hayes' argument with Jonas. It's just some of the people just don't realize what they're bloody saying. And you know, that is another debate and another argument, how that transcended between the Arsenal manager and the Chelsea manager. But it's Chelsea have been taking a battering for a while. And that's what happens when you're a successful team. I get that. You know, you're at the top and you're up there and you put yourselves up there and you are knocked down. And I think it will be a case of in years to come, especially with Emma, you know, she will be a lot more appreciated than she is now. And I just hope that Lauren can ride through this and bounce it off her and just become the world class talent which we know she is, and reach levels which we expect to reach even more, because it's sad to watch, because people should be appreciating her even if they are rival fans to an extent.
Yeah, I mean, Rich, I always find it, you know, it's a little bit sort of not difficult to talk about, but you know, as you know, white men, you know, it's not really our place to talk about what, you know, how racism feels, but you know, I think we should call it out when we see it. And you know, yep. You wouldn't have heard it on the commentary because obviously he was at the game, you know, but that early incident involving Zellum, you know, again, you know, it's just a narrative that the media continues to play out. And you know, when you've got players like Alex Scott on, you know, presenting it, you know, I think they have a duty as well to say, you know, she's not aggressive, she's not physical. She's having her shirt pulled 4 times by Zellum. You know, she has every right to push her off her because the referee's not stepping in to give the free kick quick enough.
Yep.
And, you know, and then again with this Instagram, you know, Millie Turner knows what she's doing. She knows the reaction it's got because she disabled the comments, so you can't comment on it anymore. She then shared it to her story as well. You know, and Johnny's mentioned on Mixed, I'll read his comment out in a minute. She's, you know, Lauren James has unfollowed 2 or 3 of the United players that are England teammates. And, you know, not that I care about England, because I don't, you know, I want Chelsea to win above them, you know, every day of the week. But, you know, when Lauren has to then go to that camp, you know, how does she feel as, you know, one of the very few black players in that team, in a team full of white players that seem to be sticking together?
Yeah, it's certainly got an air of, you know, she's being picked on. Like, she, and this is not to say that Lauren has made mistakes, like, you know, the stamp, the tread in the World Cup, you know, a big mistake. And
got punished for it.
And got punished for it. She got red card, VAR, you know, intervened. She got the red card. But she did, you know, on the back of that, she did also get... Like, I saw people calling out Lauren as someone who had a bad attitude before that red card on Twitter. There was no evidence beforehand to suggest he had it. It was basically people just jumping on it with confirmation bias almost. And I guess you could say, I'd say that's probably racist as well. Because I think they were waiting for her to make a mistake. And she, you know, and she did in the World Cup. And then also the Arsenal away game, you know, she treads on Vulti. But in both instances, those two players that show more class than Turner did, because Michelle Alozi was the Nigerian player who got stepped on by Lauren in the World Cup. She basically said, look, calm, you know, it's effectively like sort of calm down, you know, but so I couldn't even read her, what she said now. She basically said, a beg rest. We're playing on the world stage. This game is one of passion and insurmountable emotions and moments. All respect for Lauren James. Leah Vulti also put out a statement on Twitter after the game in December. And basically said, look, effectively chill out. Like, you know, made a mistake. But at least, you know, those two players have at least showed the class that Millie Turner's not. And Millie should know exactly what she's doing. Well, she will know what she's doing, because, you know, they've put out statements before or like Emma's talked about at length about, you know, the sort of the racist abuse that Lauren's got. You know, it's been talked about in the media. It's been talked about by managers. It, surely England will be talking about it as well. And, you know, if that's the sort of respect, you know, that, you know, your England teammates are giving you, then, you know, there might come a time where Lauren just says, well, fine, I'm not going to play for the Lionesses anymore. See ya. Because, you know, if that's how you're going to treat me, you know, and, you know, it just feels like every single thing that she has done, apart from those two incidents, which, you know, the second one she didn't actually get punished for. She got a yellow card. It should have been a red, but, you know, they can't do retrospective action as the referee saw it. She got punished for the first one. Those are the two incidents. Like, okay, yeah, she should be punished for that. The rest of it, no, that it's so overemphasized. It's just completely out of disproportionate to say another player doing the same thing. Like McCabe is obviously an example that we've used a lot, and McCabe has done, you know, lots of sort of similar incidents. The attention isn't anywhere, or the, you know, the scrutiny isn't anywhere as hard. And also, I think just to sort of add on to something that Dane said about Emma, I really feel like a lot of people have really turned on Emma after the shove or shove gate in the Conte Cup final. And again, I kind of feel like it's confirmation bias for some people. They've just never liked Emma because she's been a successful manager. You know, she's, you know, a very confident woman. She's very good at what she does. And for some reason, people just don't like it. And, you know, once she does something wrong, and, you know, she didn't say it in the press conference, but the fact that what she said about, you know, talking to her son about it, you know, and I think she regretted doing the push. But still, I feel like, yeah, there's been a lot of like disproportionate levels that have come definitely towards Lauren and definitely towards Emma. And I'm absolutely fed up with it.
Yeah, the spotlight on the club, especially with Emma leaving, you know, is magnified, you know, everything intensely. And you've only got to look at, you know, Letizia, you know, I'm saying she's not a thug, you know, she's not a player like that. You know, she's just playing a physical game, you know.
Well,
that was the so-called West Ham. What conversation would people be having about her? You know, it would be that she does that.
Just to add on to that, Letizia at the start of the season did something very similar again in the very first game of the season at Villa Park against Aston Villa. There was something she should have been sent off for. I think it was a sort of similar kind of incident, if I remember right. Like, I'd have to look it up. But yeah, there was definitely something at the start of the season. And again, it's kind of like, well, you know, not got that rep. Maybe if we're just, you know, maybe she, you know, she will, you know, get some. I don't think she'll get any type of punishment now, because I think it was like the referee saw the foul on the field. But yeah,
one of those things. And Simon, just, you know, lastly on it, you know, I've got no problem with United players celebrating their win. You know, this their first one over Chelsea. They're going to, you know, out of the four pictures, it's the headlock one, which is the issue. You know, I actually like the one where she's got the ball at the back of her shirt. So I think it plays a joke on the whole situation that they're scuffling for the ball, trying to get it back, and it's like 1 minute before the end of half time. You know, Chelsea are not going to score in that moment. United are not going to concede in that moment. It happens. It's part of the game. But to put the headlock picture in and then to share the headlock picture on your story as well on top of that, you know, I think that doesn't sit right with me.
No. It was just poor taste, wasn't it? I saw somebody sort of put it into context, but it was the steel picture of Emma when Sam scored the sort of last minute winner against Villa, and it looks like she wants to go and fight everybody.
Yeah.
But she's not celebrating that one little millisecond of a snap of a camera, and it's caught her putting Millie Turner in a headlock when it wasn't. You watch the video and it's nothing. It's nothing. It really is driving me insane. I know Dylan's sort of piping up on TikTok, sort of sticking up for her, but it's jealousy, isn't it? Basically, they'd love her playing for their team, wouldn't they? Arsenal and United, the same as Emma. They'd love her as manager. It's never going to happen. Never going to happen. She's such a sort of met her a couple of times with her kids, Lauren, and she's such a lovely person. And that's it. She's got this reputation from other teams as being a thug and miserable and not giving fans the time of day. But she's socially awkward. You can see that. But she's wonderful. We've got to protect her and show her the love tomorrow, that's for sure.
Yeah, well, unfortunately, she also gets it from Chelsea supporters as well on, you know, the miserable and the fans thing. As we saw in our Discord, unfortunately, on Sunday, about her going straight down the tunnel after the match. Although I thought her giving it to United fans on the way out made up for that.
Yeah, it was lovely. Lovely smile.
Fran also did go down the tunnel straight away as well. So, you know, she wasn't the only one.
I think it's fair enough. You know, you want when you go away, you want the players to appreciate your efforts in doing so. But, you know, call one out, call them all out. Let's not pick on one. Just a couple of comments from Mixler before we move on. Johnny Superfran, I think Millie Turner should apologise for LJ. Especially now LJ unfollowed two or three of the England United players. Her behaviour is disgusting. A disgrace, as Drogba would say. Honestly, it's allowed other people to egg on that disgusting behaviour over the stupid picture. Which brings out of context, as we just said, and Ben with true, everyone loves LJ when she's won for England. But the narrative changes at club level, which really short-sighted. Nobody wants her to stop doing well for the Lionesses. It's just extra pressure that she doesn't need. And then Ben also mentioned McCabe throwing the ball at Chloe Kelly's head. that was Lauren James. Imagine the outback from that. We lost, so I didn't do a player of the match poll. It would have been Jess Carter. At times, she looked like the only player that gave a fuck out there. And especially all the stupid passes at the end was driving me insane. I definitely wouldn't be able to pick four players out to do a poll. No fourth FA Cup for Chelsea. We can't win everything all the time, as Emma Hayes has said. However, we would trade all three domestic trophies for that Champions League. Only the small matter of Barcelona in the semi-final. And I've got anything else written down today. I know you wanted to bring up some of the comments from Emma. You still want to do that?
Well, no, I didn't know if you was going to. I think she's just playing the role that, you know, we've seen by a manager, you know, to get the fans back on side. We're not really back on side, actually, maybe, but, you know, just bring us back down to reality. You know, we've seen this move before by other coaches, you know, especially like us when there's still so much to play for, still much so on the line, you know, but at the same time, you know, don't take the right away, you know, from me as a supporter to be upset, you know, disappointed and pissed off, because I feel like, unlike 90% of the players, staff and fans, you know, supporters like us were there before and we'll be there after them, or after they're long gone. So, and this, you know, that is the life of a supporter, isn't it? You know, you're on the high when you win, you're on the down when you lose, and you know, that is our life as a supporter. You know, it's, but I'm not ignorant and arrogant enough to know that if we get out this season and we've won the league, I'll be happy. I'll be extremely happy. If we manage the Champions League as well, I'll be over the freaking moon. So I know where she's coming from, and like Rich said, you know, she's been a fantastic servant for us, you know, beyond our wildest dreams, you know, the ride she has taken us on. So I get it, you know, still on for the league title, you know, two games against Barcelona, we can win the Champions League. So yeah, okay. It's shit, maybe mentally and physically tired, but you know, okay, let's brush ourselves down and let's look forward, because it still can be a majorly successful season.
Yeah, she did call us out today, the supporters. I think she's just trying to get a reaction for Wednesday against Villa.
Which you know, it should do. It's obvious. Don't go there and be glum. Go there and freaking cheer your team on. Because, you know, if we're winning all our games and scoring goals, we're likely to be winning the league.
Yeah, I mean, we have been, you know, extremely lucky with what we've won. And, you know, we can't win everything, but, you know, we wanted just one more season.
Yeah, we're greedy. Obviously, we're greedy, yeah.
Yeah, but yeah, there we go. We're going to go for a very quick break now, and then we're going to quick look ahead to Villa, because I know it's, by the time you listen to this, it's the day of the Villa game. unless you're one of the lucky ones listening live or on Patreon, you can listen a little bit before everyone else. Before we do that, a reminder that the newest issue of King's Manor Chronicle is available to buy now. Issue 11 features, you know, a host of brilliant Chelsea writers, including Simon's with us tonight, Sophie, who we have on the show. You get Harry Stats in there as well, as long as some other cool stuff. Copies of £2. They'll also be available at the Villa game. I'll be outside King's Meadow selling those. So make sure you pick one up. The address, if you can't make the game, is kingsmeadowchronicle.bigcartel.com. And you can order your copy there, either a PDF version that gets emailed or a physical copy, which I'll send via the Royal Mail. And maybe even Simon will deliver it to your house if you live on his route. You have to let me know if you ever see one. It's got really bad handwriting on the front. We'll be right back after this short break.
Chidge, JK, in all the years you've been following Chelsea, you hardly ever miss a match, home or away. But how would you feel if you couldn't be there and it's not on TV?
Oh, Chidge, I'd be bereft, inconsolable. The thought of missing my beloved Blue Boys live. It's all too much.
I know, JK, I know. It's all a bit too much, isn't it?
Yes.
Well, panic not. NordVPN have come to the rescue.
They have?
Yep, NordVPN allows us to watch any match, even if it's not on live TV here.
They do?
Yeah, they do. With just one click, they switch your virtual location to a country which is showing the match, and they act as your cyber bodyguard whilst online, protecting your personal data and sensitive info like card details and passwords.
Oh, wow, great! But yeah, I bet that'll cost me a fortune.
Actually, JK, it's only the price of a cup of coffee per month, and you can use your account across 6 devices. It's a bargain, JK, and best of all, no more tears for you.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, NordVPN. I'm so happy I could cry. Where do I sign up, Jidge?
Well, to get the best discount off your NordVPN plan, go to nordvpn.com/Chelsea Fancast. There's no risk with Nord's 30-day money-back guarantee, and you'll help support the Chelsea Fancast. The link is in the podcast episode description box. Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximise your home ground advantage with McDelivery. You in? Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Welcome back to part two of Wentworth Kings Meadow, episode 131. Time now to look ahead to the WSL. Still a trophy to play for and the visit of Aston Villa to Kings Meadow. At the time we're speaking, it's tomorrow night. At the time we're listening, it's probably tonight. And knowing that a reaction is needed, because I think it's 3 in a row we've not won now. I don't think it's ever been 4, probably. Probably going back to 2012. And if we want to win the league, we need to win every game now.
Exactly. Yeah, you don't need to give much of a team talk. They all know a reaction is needed. Maybe a little bit of a reshuffle of the team. Slightly. Not too much. I know some managers like to play the same team again after a disappointing result to try and get that reaction. I would twerk it a little bit. But yeah, you know, look forward. As I said, brush yourselves down. It's done. You know, we've been majorly successful. We all have a right to be pissed off. But, you know, we could still be an outstanding season for us.
Yeah, Rich, what are you looking for from the team tomorrow night?
Oh, Emery in a press conference earlier today said, you know, she knows what Villa are going to do. It's going to be 5-3-2 low block. that was her answer to the question. So it's going to be about, I guess, being patient and waiting for the the door to sort of go or you know, to open up. When I've seen Villa play these big games or against the bigger sides, they seem to start well and have a good shape to them, and they've got some threat on the counter attack, and then progressively through the game they go deeper and deeper and deeper, just invite pressure on, and eventually leads to the opposition scoring. And I'm hoping they do the same tomorrow, because we could do with a night that's, you know, relatively, you know, drama free, you know, we went, you know, take a 3-0 win. You know, you can get some people off maybe early on, and, you know, rest them for Saturday. It's just the inconvenience of the fact you've got that looming game on Saturday, and it's going to, you know, Emma might say about, you know, next game, you know, next game is the one they always concentrate on, but you've got to dictate to that game on Saturday, and that should be seen in the lineup tomorrow, I'd imagine.
Yeah, I think, Simon, I think was it today or was it yesterday? It was a year since that Villa game with Sam Kerr scoring in the last seconds, or maybe even 2 years now. I don't know, time goes, yeah, 2 years, time goes so quickly. It feels like we've been here for 2 years. You know, we know what Aston Villa can do. As Rich mentioned, the game against Arsenal, you know, I don't think they had a shot on goal after they scored, if I remember that right. Although I don't watch Arsenal too much. They sat back and Arsenal eventually picked them off. So for me, I'm looking at a player like Ćankovic to be a key player for us tomorrow night.
Yeah, yeah. I think she can unlock him, can't she? Like we said earlier on, we needed a really Sunday. I think the team talk's already been done by Skinner as well, isn't it? With his celebrations afterwards. Just put those pictures up in the dressing room. Put it on the big screen so we can all see it as well. And just, I'd take 3 points, but hopefully a few goals. But ultimately, we just need those 3 points.
Yeah, Dame, we've seen, you know, Emma lose to her big rivals recently. You know, Skinner getting his first win. Idaville got the last laugh in the Conti Cup final. Gareth Taylor winning in the league. But, you know, we know that Carla Ward is a good friend of Emma Hayes, and we need a bit of friendship right now, don't we?
Yeah, please, yeah. What did you expect them to do? If you can line their back and let us rub their big bellies. Cats, are they, or dogs? Listen, yeah. She'll be as professional as ever, you know, no doubt. They are very good friends, and she did talk very glowingly about Chelsea as a team and Emma Hayes and the coaching staff. And I'm sure whilst they won't be giving us the green light and parting the seas for us just to walk through at the end of the season, if we win the league and Champions League or are successful in any way, I'm sure Carla will be one of the first people on the phone to her. I believe it would be a tough game, but like Simon says, you know, 3 points is a need, is a must. I'll take it any way it comes.
Well, to be fair, you know, Villa can't go down. They can't make Europe. You know, what are they playing for? You know, do they really want Man City to win the league? You know, does she want her friend Emma Hayes to win on a farewell season? Probably she does. You know, maybe she just says, you know, couple of bad dodgy back passes. You know, don't run too fast. Hopefully, we'll see. Rich, I'm hoping you was watching the whole press conference then, because did anyone even ask about availability for players? I know she forgot to ask Erin Cuff, but how she was, although she did train.
Yeah, she said everyone's fine. She didn't ask about how she felt. It's kind of the usual, really. Bjorn, Mjelde, Bright still out, which again, it's, you know, it's pressure on those defenders, because those defenders are having to play every, you know, it's about four or five we've got fit, plus, you know, the emergency of Nishkin playing as a centre-back we've got at the moment. And, you know, it is frustrating. We've got like three players out in the same position, and then also the two centre-forwards who are long-term, Sam and Mia. But other than that, everyone else was fit, apparently. At least that's what Emma told us.
If you believe that, you are a fool. So, in terms of a lineup, then, Simon, I'll come to you first. I picked Hampton, Lawrence, Carter, Buchanan, and Charles. Cuthbert, Nusken, and then Cameron, Ćankovic, Beaver Jones, and James. So Ryan misses out. Ramirez drops to the bench. I don't think Macario is fit enough to start. She looked like she couldn't run when she came on Sunday, although her set pieces were excellent. I will say that. I should have said that in part one. Yeah, what's your thoughts? Who would be in your side was the manager?
Yeah, it's more or less the same, really. Hampton, Lawrence, Carter, Buchanan, Charles. I've gone Ingle, Erin and Ingle. Then
did add Ingle first, I crossed her out.
I'd put James, yeah. JRK, I've gone Ramirez. and Aggie as well, with James behind. But then I thought, yeah, maybe Cat gets 5-0 first, take Cat off after half an hour, bring on Ramirez.
If we fired him up after 30 minutes, I think Drew starts.
Very wishful.
Yeah. Dave, what about you? I know you like to put your own stamp on the team which picks.
I agree with your back five. Hampton, Lawrence, Carter, Buchanan, Charles. I'd have Ingle in next to Cuthbert. I'd drop Wrighton. I'd put James on the left, but I'd want her to, like, you know, like shifting in. I'd have Nuskin, Wrighton, Canard, and I'd go again with Ramirez. That's what I believe will be my best team.
You only agree with the back five because there's nobody bloody else to play.
Well, yeah, I don't. I'd love Macario to play. I thought it looks like at times she was running in quicksand on at the weekend, but she does put a good ball in. You know, again, it's the coming back. You know, she believes cup, and it might just been the travelling. She didn't play as much over there as I thought she might. You know, I still thought she'd get like the 25 minutes here, but she was a non-use sub a few times, so she might just been tired. I don't think we'll see her start this season, to be honest. I think she'll just be, you know, 25 minutes, half an hour here.
Yeah, I think next season is hers for sure. Yeah, Rich, you've got good form for some big calls. Is there going to be any for this game?
No, I think your back five is going to be pretty correct. I feel like you need, you know, if you're expecting Villa to play deeper, then I think you need Ashes attacking output as well as Neves. I mean, I'm tempted. I kind of agree with Simon and maybe about Ingle, because I don't think Melly did have a great game on Saturday. But then I'm also tied with the fact that, you know, given what I assume will be the tactical plan on Saturday, I guess you give Ingle some minutes at least, because I'd be tempted to always start Ingle in Barcelona away. Because I think it's this type of game that you might need her, therefore, with Erin next to her. So, yeah, I'll definitely start, I think, Ingle tomorrow, at least for some point of the game. And then it's difficult going forward, because I kind of feel like I want to see Čanković. It'd be the sort of the type of game I feel like she'd be important in. I'd like to see Aggie get a start, because I don't know if you'd give her a start away at Barcelona. It'd be a big call to make. To start her in that game. So this one will be right. And then, yeah, I guess sort of Lauren up front. Yeah, I don't really have sort of any really, really big takes about this one. I think Ingle starting might be the one.
Yeah, I've just changed my mind. I've taken Nuskin out. I put Čanković next to Cuthbert, then put Kirby in the attacking lineup.
Yeah,
if they are going to play
deep. I've got Fran in mind as well.
Yeah, she just hasn't been picking Sophie at all. And don't know why. I know she's not, you know, maybe got the legs she used to have, but she at least made some appearances more recently than she has done. Whether she then comes on for Erin once we score the 5 goals, as Simon said, after half an hour. Then she can come on and play. But yeah, I do want to see Aggie play over Guru and really try and attack the fullbacks. And then, you know, I think you just start James, because you're just Lauren James. I don't think you bring him off the bench. Well, you probably could with Ramirez. Although, I don't think she would rest Charles and play Perisse as well. I think she's going to keep Perisse for Saturday. Perhaps Nuskin comes on as a fullback, and Charles comes off, and Lawrence goes over to left back at some point. And, you know, as we say, Carter Buchanan are the only two centre backs that can play, so they've got to be in the team. But we will see. What time is kickoff?
7.
7. Yeah. So about 6 o'clock, we will know how wrong or right we are in terms of who plays and who doesn't. Famous old predictions. Then I'm going to go 3-1.
Oh, sure. Because
I feel like Dave was going to pick that, so I've got that in early. Rich, what about you?
I think I mentioned 3-0. I don't think it will be big. I'll go with 3-0. Not sure exactly, but it's the score I mentioned earlier, so I'm going to stick with that.
Yeah, good idea. Simon, how many goals after half an hour is it? So it's five at half an hour.
Yeah, I've changed my mind now. I'm going 4-0. 4-0 half time, but I'd take a 1-0.
So I'm writing 4-0 down. So it's 3-1, 3-0, 4-0 taken, Dane.
No. Simon said 1-0, he said. I'll take 1-0, so that means I can have 4-0.
Okay, you can
Got
take
4-0. Oh, no, yeah. You
can have 4-0. There we go. I think we just need to win. Don't think we really care in what way it comes, although the less stressful, the better. But I don't think our poor little hearts can take much more. Right, so we will be... Sorry, that is all we've got time for, I should say, first. We will be back on Friday to review the Villa game and look ahead to the small matter of Barcelona in the Champions League. Now, we are going to be joined by Simon and Matt, who historically have had a bad partnership together. So,
didn't they win the last one, though?
Yeah, but we didn't announce they were together.
Oh.
So this is the first time we put it out into the open. So if we do lose to Aston Villa, we know why. I'm hoping Simon's got some new lucky pants. Because we need something to pull out the bag. Yeah, Dane, thanks for joining us. Thanks for letting me know you was available.
I thought it was obvious. I thought I'm automatically scheduled. I might struggle for Friday, but yeah, no, I've enjoyed it tonight. I've had a good bit of therapy. I think we've discussed it all well and hopefully released some anger, and we can all look forward to tomorrow's game.
I feel like Richard's a new man after tonight. I think he's let go of everything out of his system and he's ready to go for tomorrow.
Yeah. Ready to watch the rest of the Men's Champions League, which, with the looks of it,
does look,
look pretty tasty.
Yeah, I did see Max.
I feel a bit better now. I've let a lot of stuff out of my chest. So, yeah, I'm much, much better. The therapy session has worked for me, I think.
I would also like to say, if Lauren James does want to retire from England, it won't be such a bad loss. You know, I'll be gladly accept that whilst supporting Emma in a new stage of her career.
Especially with that top on.
Yeah.
talk about me being a glory hunter with the Chiefs. Wearing that. Shocking.
We're not the World Cup holders.
You've only got four stars above your bloody badge.
Not my fault.
I'll go there on holiday. Simon, always good to see you. I'll see you tomorrow in that front row of Block A.
Yep. Roll on 7. Thanks for having me. Good to see the other boys as well. And yeah, hopefully 9 o'clock tomorrow night, we'll be a bit happier.
Yep, all will be at home. So we left well early. I'll see you on Friday, of course, with Matt, as we mentioned. If you have enjoyed the show and you do like what we do, if you are mad enough to enjoy this show, please consider supporting us on Patreon. It just helps cover the running cost of the show. Stuff like Zoom, Mixlr, Adobe Audition to edit the thing and put it out there all does cost money. So anything that we can get towards that does help. And anything left over goes towards Future Ballers, which we do every summer. To give young girls football boots for the upcoming season and get them out playing and emulating their idols and our idols in the Chelsea women's team. So all that does help. That's patreon.com/ Wetsamo Kings Meadow. Now, at the end, I normally say from Kings Meadow to Wembley, but we're not going to be there this year. So from Kings Meadow to Bilbao, I suppose, is what we're at now for at least 2 weeks. Keep the blue flag flying high.
It's the 90th minute. All your mates around. You've got your McNuggets share boxes ready to go. Your mates already got booked for double dipping and you steal the last nugget, snatching all 3 points. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. You in? At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.